supposed catering to GOP and Republicans, working with the State Department. Poppy Sr. working with his son to make sure these guys get out of the country, the Bin Ladens, before they could be interrogated, so to speak, by the FBI, now that it wouldn't have mattered. And why didn't they freeze the assets of the Bin Ladens? Oh, because that would have included money invested in the Carlyle Group. Why didn't they investigate the Carlyle Group for taking money from the Bin Ladens? The President of the United States, a Democrat, is staying at the home of the co-founder of the Carlyle Group for the next 3, 4, 5 days. Keep that in mind. Let's go to the videotape.
Barnes & Noble, I think it's already there.
Chris Matthews on his way to his book tour. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me first.
Nice to have you here. It's about 2 minutes past the hour. Mr. Matthews will be unplugged here, and we're going to continue talking about a story that was in the Wall Street Journal on September the 27th, the year 2001. It was on page 3. And those of you who watched this program, many of you saw the story, and we want to get an opportunity now to find out exactly what was in the story and how the author of it came to the information. Daniel Golden, good morning in Boston.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about this story. What were the basics that you had in it?
Well, the nub of the story was about the relationship between the Bin Laden family's company, which is the Saudi Bin Laden Group, and it's a relationship to the Carlyle Group, which is a Washington merchant bank that specializes in leverage buyouts of defense contractors. The Bin Laden Group is a small investor in the Carlyle Group, and as a result, it's also become quite friendly with and associated with a bunch of Republican leaders, because the Carlyle Group, among the heavyweights connected with it, are former Secretary of Defense Frank Carlucci, former Secretary of State James Baker, and a former President George Bush.
How did you get onto this story?
Well, we had done a previous story about the Bin Laden Group's connections with companies in the United States via their website, which they've since taken down. They listed a bunch of American and Western companies that they'd done business with. And that kind of led me naturally to looking at some of their political connections and some of their other investments.
Now, the Carlyle Group, based here in Washington, is it a public company?
I don't believe so. I believe it's privately held.
How much information were you able to get directly from them when you went after the story?
Well, not a great deal of information, but, you know, they did confirm that the Bin Laden Group was an investor.
And what about the connection between the former president? You mentioned in your story that he had a couple meetings with the Bin Laden family, and when you first went after it, though, they told you of only one in 1998?
Yeah, that's right. I think his aide said that his memory is not as good as it once was. They only owned up to one meeting at that time, and later they acknowledged two meetings. The reason being that I had some evidence of the two meetings. I'd been shown some thank you notes that the former president and Mr. Carlucci and Mr. Baker and so on had written after visiting the Bin Laden Group's home and headquarters in Saudi Arabia. You know, most of these officials in the last few years, or former government officials, had visited there on business related to the Carlyle Group and had met the head of the Bin Laden family and some of the other brothers.
Why would people who had received these thank you notes from the former president and others show them to you?
Well, I think they would show them to me because the Bin Laden Group is very worried about its name. You know, they know that their brother, obviously, is a notorious the world over. And so I think they show these notes to people with whom they want to do business in order to convince them that they're a legitimate company and that they're not some kind of terrorist front.
Now, people watching this show, some people, leaped to the conclusion immediately that this interconnection with the Bin Laden family is helping to benefit the Bush family, that George Bush in the White House has a direct benefit to all this. And the conspiracy theorists suggest that, the farthest charge, you might as well get it on the table, is that this was all created by the Bush family for their own personal benefit. Want to deal with that?
Well, I don't know of any evidence to substantiate any conspiracy theory. I think that, wealthy Saudi Arabian businessmen with money to invest have long had a lot of access to, our ruling elite, and that this is really no different, and that these American officials were persuaded that the Bin Laden family, had completely disowned or had a complete rupture with Usama, and they saw no harm in financial partnership with them.
Do you get any sense of how much money is made at the Carlyle Group off of the connection with the Bin Laden Group?
Well, the Bin Laden investment appears to be pretty small. They're in one particular fund, and according to the Carlyle Group, they only put $2 million in it, which is pretty small because it's a fund of over $1 billion. Other sources I have indicate that it may be more than $2 million, but I don't think anybody feels they're a huge investor. I think in a way that the Bin Laden connection has helped the Carlyle Group more because it opens a lot of doors in Saudi Arabia. You know, the Bin Ladens are very close to the royal family in Saudi Arabia. They're one of the, you know, half dozen wealthiest families there. And, you know, their name there is like Rockefeller or something. It just opens a lot of doors.
You point out in your story that former President Jimmy Carter has met with 10 of Osama's brothers early in 2000. What's that about?
Well, Jimmy Carter went there, went to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, where the Bin Ladens are based. He was looking for contributions to the Carter Center, I believe for some health program to combat disease in the third world. And he negotiated with the Bin Ladens in Saudi Arabia. And then later, he and Rosalind Carter met with some of the Bin Ladens in New York City. And they eventually received a $200,000 donation to the Carter Center.
You obviously thought this story was important, or you wouldn't even have gone after to written it. What do you think the, what's the conclusion after you've done this story? What should the American people think about this?
Well, I think there's two aspects to it that are important. One is, I mean, they are Usama's family, and although they have disowned him and there's been a rupture, you know, it's still worth pursuing whether there's a relationship there. Clearly, the brothers who head the family are not in contact with him and have disowned him, but it's a big family. There's something like 54 brothers and sisters, or 53 in that realm, and some of them may be in contact with Usama. Also, I think it's been reported that one of Usama's brothers-in-law, a husband of one of his sisters, was regarded as a terrorist by Philippine police. That guy's now living in Saudi Arabia. I'm not sure on what terms he is with the family, but I think it's worth exploring and asking whether everybody in the family is as resolute in their denunciation of Usama as the heads of the family are. There's another meaning, too, which, you know, it's part of, I think, a total issue of the United States' relationship with the ruling Saudi Arabian elite. You know, that elite is has long been accused of corruption and nepotism and the like. And the Bin Ladens are so close to the Saudi royal family that being cozy with the Bin Ladens may reflect an overall problem in sort of our relationship with Saudi Arabia and its government and its people.
Daniel Golden is in Boston. What you see behind him there on that picture, it's a still picture, is the harbor at Boston. He is a native of Amherst, Massachusetts, a Harvard graduate, has been a reporter since 1999 at the Wall Street Journal. Before that, 18 years with the Boston Globe. We take our first call from Santiago, Chile this morning. Go ahead, please. Santiago, you're on the air.
Thank you. My name is Gina. I'm from Santiago, Chile. I'm glad to hear your program. It's very interesting. There are two things that, at least I think here. We have the feeling that America has been a little bit weak on their politics. You have all these huge developments and technology, and you have Israel in the Middle East that can help. Why don't you cut it down more quickly, more force, and that's it? You know, we live in the end of the world here in South America. We belong to the Jewish community, and we're always afraid. We have to take care of the children at school, doing guard around, even happen anything here, but it all the time affects us. I think you have the whole technology to put and cut down this stuff quickly.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Golden is here as a guest to talk about the article that he wrote about the Carlyle Group and the Bin Laden family and George Herbert Walker Bush. You're free to say anything you want to about this call, but if you don't want to, we can just move on.
Well, I think that, you know, my overall comment would just be that it's difficult to be strong when you're not precisely sure who the enemy is and where they are. And I'm sure if we were more certain about that, we'd probably be acting more strongly.
When you did your story on the Bin Laden Group and the Bushes, people willing to talk to you at every stop?
No, you know, James Baker declined comment, Frank Carlucci declined comment. I mean, a lot of people are clearly embarrassed now to have their connections with the Bin Laden family revealed.
Centerville, Virginia, you're next.
First of all, I'd like to thank Brian for your integrity and honesty in this programming.
Thank you.
Mr. Golden, I'm familiar. I have read things on the Internet, overseas websites concerning the Carlyle Group and the Bin Laden connection. But I was wondering, have you read anything about the inside trading that went on shortly after the attacks? We heard about it, and we haven't heard anything else since. And I was wondering if you had read anything or heard anything.
Insider trading by what group?
Well, that's what we don't know.
I've probably read some of the same reports you have, but I don't know if they're accurate or not. I haven't really researched that.
When you did your story, how active was the Carlyle Group? And by the way, we asked the Carlyle Group to come on and respond to all this, and they didn't return our phone calls, and we tried all day yesterday. At least when I left the office, they may have come in late. But how active were they in answering your questions?
Well, they did not want to answer them by name. They had one of their top executives talk to me on a not-for-use-of-the-name basis. And, you know, on that basis, they were fairly forthcoming. But as I say, there's this unresolved dispute over how much money the Bin Ladens actually have in their fund and how deep the relationship goes. And I think it's too bad that they weren't able to come on camera and discuss it further.
Are there any other people that you know of associated with the Carlyle Group who have past connections with any administration besides Frank Carlucci and Jim Baker and George Herbert Walker Bush?
I believe there are some former Reagan and Bush administration officials on their board of directors and as advisors. I don't have the list with me, but I believe Richard Darman, perhaps, and there's some others.
Tampa, Florida, for Dan Golden of the Wall Street Journal. Good morning.
Brian, my comment is to you first. Did you have any solid evidence before you invited this rhetoric on your TV that you have, Brian, did you find evidence? And the instigation that you spilled out this morning was, maybe it was something to do with the campaign. This is not right, Brian. You're being biased against President Bush. Now I have a question for the gentleman there.
Yeah, well, the question about bias is the gentleman on the screen from Boston, Dan Golden, wrote the article. A lot of people have called this program since the article came out. This is your opportunity to talk directly with him.
Exactly.
Please go ahead.
Exactly, and it's my opportunity to question you, too.
Go right ahead.
Okay. And now, you are a disgrace to journalism. First of all, you need evidence to before you start spewing and writing about our president and how our former president. And this is you're a disgrace. Why didn't you publish anything about how Gore and Clinton sold arms, our secrets to China?
Caller, let me ask you a question. What evidence do you want beyond what he's actually written so far? What has he written? What has he written so far that is incorrect or is against what you think he should write?
Brian, my opinion, my question to you: did you have any evidence before you invited this guest on your show?
Evidence for what, ma'am?
For what is the incorrect facts that he's spewing out?
What incorrect facts is he spewing out?
Because this is not, he's the only journalist that's ever brought anything like this into the public's eye.
Why does that make him incorrect?
Well, why haven't you, it's back to you again. Why
maybe I could, if I could speak to this for a minute. As Brian pointed out, the story appeared September 27th, you know, in a prominent publication, the Wall Street Journal. Nobody has asked for any correction or raised any question of accuracy about the story since then. As I indicated, it's undisputed that these various political leaders visited the Bin Laden family in the last few years. Now, there's one aspect on which other publications have gone farther than my story did and on which I was very careful. About 20 years ago, one of the older brothers of Osama bin Laden, Salim bin Laden, he frequented Texas. He spent a lot of time there. And he had business interests there, and he had a business representative named Jim Bath. Now, Mr. Bath was a close friend of our current president, George W. Bush, and invested in a couple of funds that Mr. Bush then controlled oil-related funds. Now, a number of publications have leaped to the conclusion that, therefore, Mr. Bath was investing bin Laden money in these Bush oil funds. But I can tell you that, you know, we found no evidence that it was anything other than Mr. Bath's own money, and as Mr. Bath has claimed on numerous occasions. And, you know, so we wrote the story. We were very careful to indicate that there was no indication of a financial connection between the bin Ladens and George W. Bush.
Let me go back to our caller for a moment in Tampa. Caller, let me ask you a question again, though. Nobody said that anybody's done anything wrong here. Why are you upset?
Brian, may I suggest one more thing, and I thank you for taking this...
Would you mind answering my question? I said nobody's said anything. Anybody's done anything wrong here. Why are you upset?
What is he publishing? What is this rhetoric that he's publishing about our former president?
What's rhetoric about this? What's rhetorical about this?
Brian, it's exactly what he's stating in his column.
Okay, I'm going to let you go. Mr. Golden, you want to follow up on anything?
No, I think that, you know, she's concerned about perhaps us implying some kind of guilt by association. And, you know, we didn't do that. We simply laid out the facts, and I think it's important for the public to know them.
Kenosha, Wisconsin, for Dan Golden. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. I would like to ask Mr. Golden a question. There's a rumor flying around Wisconsin that the bin Laden family and the Carlyle Group have a joint venture project to build a pipeline from all the former Soviet Union stand states to the Arabian Sea, and that pipeline would have to go through Afghanistan, which puts a whole new light on the situation of why we might be there.
Anything on that, Mr. Golden?
I never heard of that.
Let's go to San Diego next for Dan Golden of the Wall Street Journal. You're on the air.
Yes, hi, good morning. I think the story is very interesting, and we could add a sequel, which is full cooperation in between Clinton administration and bin Laden people in Bosnia. These people have an airport built by Clinton administration. They were supplied arms through Croatia and Slovenia into the Bosnian War, and even as we speak, American embassy in Bosnia is closed due to the bin Laden's threat.
Anything about this that you know of, Mr. Golden?
I don't really know about that either. I mean, obviously, our foreign policy in relation to Osama bin Laden's been fluid. I mean, years ago in Afghanistan, when they were fighting the Soviet Union, we were on the same side. But I don't know anything about the Bosnian situation in particular.
How often have you found that former political people or people in our government have done business then with the countries that they were engaged with when they were in an administration? And is it only a Republican administration that does this?
Well, as I think, you know, we mentioned before, Jimmy Carter obviously solicited a gift from the bin Laden group. And I would think that officials of, you know, both parties, once they leave office, you know, nobody is, neither party is totally free of people who probably link up afterwards for financial reasons.
Do I have Dallas on the line?
Yes, sir.
You're on with Dan Golden. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Golden, this pipeline was going to start in Turkmenistan in the biggest gas field in the world. It was going to run down through Afghanistan, through Pakistan, down the Arabian Gulf. They were going to build an oil pipeline and a gas pipeline. It's going to cost $5 billion. The Saudi bin Laden Company was going to be a major participant in it. It's all about money. Follow the money. Talk to Jeff Fowler of your foreign desk. He's got all the information on it.
Mr. Golden.
Well, I'm glad to hear we're all over that story. And, you know, all I can tell you in that realm is that, you know, the Saudi bin Laden Group is a predominantly a construction company in the Middle East. They have had interests in getting into oil exploration, and they had a joint venture with, I believe it's HC Price or HG Price Company, which has a Texas office. In the mid-1990s to do oil exploration, but from what I was told, they failed to win contracts, and so ultimately the joint venture ended around 1997 or 1998.
Mr. Golden, when was the first time you had any inclination that this was a story for you?
I mean, well,
go far, as far back as you can.
Well, you know, my normal beat is actually covering education, so I'm not a lifelong student of the Bin Ladens. After September 11th, you know, I was scrambling to help out in the coverage, and, you know, I thought of looking a little bit at the Bin Laden family business, and as I said, on their website, they listed just a multitude of companies in the West that they do business with. I had thought they were just a construction company in the Middle East. It turns out they're a reseller of all kinds of things, telecommunications equipment, food and beverages, from American companies like Motorola, Nortel, which is Canadian, PictureTel. And so I got interested in that, and I began to cultivate some contacts among the Bin Laden family and spokespeople for the Bin Laden family and, you know, financial people who deal with them. And once I realized that once I was told that these former American leaders or officials were meeting with the Bin Ladens, and once I learned that the Carlyle Group was predominantly defense industry oriented, you know, you'd have to be kind of a fool journalistically not to see that the idea of the Bin Laden family having an investment in the American defense industry, was not a story, because it obviously was.
Did you find Vice President Cheney and his former life with Halliburton anywhere in that story?
I didn't in relation with the Bin Ladens in particular, though I would say that might bear more scrutiny. I know that there's been some contacts there between Halliburton and Saudi Arabian families in general, but I don't know about the Bin Ladens specifically.
Guayaquil, Ecuador, for Dan Golden of the Wall Street Journal, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you and good morning for such a creative program. But I wanted to say that right after the election, I went into the internet on the google.com and I traced it, the Bin Ladens, the Bushes, everybody. There's so many corporations in which American businessmen are representing these families and these ventures in the Middle East and all over. And it's about excavation, exploration, oil, and so forth and so on. This is in the internet. This is all over the books. I think Mr. Golden just brought it into a major journal newspaper. But people want to be blind. So all you have to do is go to the internet and follow so many leads, and you will see that there is definitely something inappropriate. And I feel bad for what is going on in America. But sometimes, guilt lies on whatever people or companies are trying to do business to the expense of maybe compromising friendship or security. So I applaud Mr. Golden's book, and more Americans should come and speak about these things. Mr. Golden, congratulations, and also to the host of the program.
Mr. Golden, is there a possible way for people to get your story? Is it still on the internet somewhere that they can get it?
Yeah, it should be on the Wall Street Journal website.
And it was September the 27th?
That's right.
And what kind of reaction did you get from the story?
Well, it's been interesting. It's been kind of a delayed reaction. I mean, when the story originally ran, I didn't get much, if any. And then, you know, in the last week to 10 days, I've been getting more phone calls, more emails. It seems to have taken a while to kind of catch on, which is pretty unusual in my experience.
Has anybody fed you new information in this process that you're interested in pursuing?
Yeah, we have a couple leads, and, you know, if they if they pan out, we may do another story.
With a group like the Carlyle Group, how can you get to the bottom of what they are and who's on their board and how much money they make? Is it possible if they're not a public company?
Well, it's not easy. I mean, there's a lot of information on their website. There's a lot of executives who used to be at the Carlyle Group and have now left, the typical journalistic ways of trying to look into something.
San Diego for Dan Golden of the Wall Street Journal. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I salute Mr. Golden simply because he's doing investigative reporting, which is becoming a dinosaur, it seems, in this country. The woman who had all of the fear of any discussion would not answer any questions about how in fact what was being reported was an offense, typifies what the climate is becoming. I just recently asked to unsubscribe from U Comics when they canceled Boondocks, and then I was told, because I said I would not to resubscribe me when the censorship stopped, that all of our names had been forwarded to the FBI. So within this climate, we've got to have more and more people, and I teach 1984, and this is what I told them, we have to have more and more people who will not be afraid to investigate issues.
Thanks, caller. You having a receptive desk there at the Wall Street Journal for more investigative reporting?
Oh, yeah. The Journal is always very interested in a good investigative story.
When you went after the information on the bin Laden family, how many of the brothers, or I don't even know if they're all brothers, but how many of the family, the 50 children, are involved in the bin Laden businesses?
Well, that's a good question. There's not a whole lot of information. My sense is that most of them have some kind of stake in the business financially. Exactly how many participate, I think there's, you know, seven or eight or maybe a dozen who are in key leadership positions in the business, just judging from looking at the board of directors and things like that. You know, it's a little hard to know. In fact, it's a little hard to know exactly what financial relationship Osama bin Laden has with the business. We've been told different things at different times. My best understanding is that, you know, he inherited some stock in the business from his father, who died in a plane crash in the late 60s. It took him, I think, many years and the rest of the family to sort of clear up the estate and decide who got what. And then when there was a rupture with the rest of the family, he lost his Saudi citizenship. He moved to Sudan. And my understanding is that his holdings in the company are frozen in a trust of some kind. But it's difficult. You know, we don't have enough information to untangle the whole finances of the Saudi bin Laden group.
Edwardsburg, Michigan, for Dan Golden of the Wall Street Journal. Go ahead, please.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to say that I think that the lady that had called before is commendable in the fact that she is trying to honor our president. But I think when we stop asking questions and when we stop wondering what's going on with our government and our country, we belittle ourselves and we might lose out on something that's really important to ourselves. I think this man has done a great job on trying to find information and given us information so that we can ask questions. And I don't think that he was trying to do anything but find information out. I'm kind of concerned about people still being able to come over here and take airline flight. Take more schooling for that. I wish somebody would look into that because they said that's not supposed to be against the law. Well, hey, wake up, people. We need new laws. We need our government to start making new laws for the new times, and they're not doing that.
Thanks. Any comment, Mr. Golden?
Well, I think she's certainly correct in that there is a lot of concern about how easy it is to get a visa to come to this country. I'd also like to say, you know, about the bin Laden family that you know, even more than just disowning Osama, I mean, they have been good allies to the U.S. in a number of ways. After the truck bombing in Saudi Arabia in 1996, when a bunch of American servicemen were killed, you know, they built new barracks for the servicemen. They were helpful to us in the Gulf War, so that they're not simply wealthy Saudi businessmen looking to make money in the U.S. They've been strong allies to us in time of need, and you know, that should definitely be mentioned. And you know, as well, Saudi Arabia is a country where a lot of the politics and society are built on kind of extended family networks. So for them to repudiate a brother is a pretty strong move to make and should be given credit.
This email, it's not signed by a person, but it says, where is Robert Rubin now? And is there anything ethically or morally different between what he's doing and what, say, Carlucci is doing? It's from Maui, Hawaii.